Loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So Jason and I decided to do something a little different this Lent season. Rather than preaching the texts and stories that are traditionally shared in the season of Lent, we thought it would be interesting to share some of the stories that never show up in that typical three-year cycle of readings that you hear in most churches around the world. It's called the Common Lection. We thought, let's break away from the lection just for fun. We'll engage in the hidden texts. And yes, there are great conspiracy theories as to why we don't read these stories, as well as those who roll their eyes and point out that not everything is a plot. You know, it's just some stories don't offer any new insight, or the story is told better in another passage. Or sometimes they just seem a little too far-fetched to actually illuminate us. You know, we get so caught up on one little detail, we don't get into the heart of the story. And also, some people think that some of the stories in the Bible are just a little bit childish. This morning you heard the story of Gideon and the fleece, and you've not likely heard that read in church before. So just let me give you a little context, okay? After Moses, before David, the Israelites lived in the Promised Land. Now you may recall that they escaped Egypt, and after 40 years in the desert, they found their home. That's where we are in the story, okay? After Moses, before David, in the Promised Land. You may recall that Moses didn't actually make it there with them. Sort of two parts punishment, one part irony. He doesn't get to the Promised Land. And eventually the Israelites will have a king, but in the early years they are ruled by God through the judges. So these judges spoke for God, and they led the people as sort of prophets, generals, administrators, all of that. That's Gideon. Gideon was one such judge. He was famous for his military leadership, which was necessary because when the Israelites arrived in the Promised Land, there were already people living there. So conflicts, truces, battles, and wars were commonplace as communities fought for security and safety in their little bit of the desert. So it's in the midst of one such conflict that the Midianites are sure to overwhelm the small force of Israeli soldiers. They're brave, but they are horribly, horribly outnumbered. Gideon, however, knows that God will help him lead his troops and assure them of victory. And he has confidence in this, not just because he's a judge, which he is, that's a calling from God, but also because he has seen a miracle. Recently, he asked for a sign of God's blessing, and he received a bona fide fire shooting into the air miracle. Boom, it was all there for him. So his confidence in God's support is entirely justified. He asked for and received a miraculous sign. What more do you need? Actually, I find this story kind of boring. It's just another battle story. I mean, just to cut it really short, I hate to spoil it, but you know, small force overcomes large force. Yay! Like every movie we've ever seen. Maybe that's why we don't hear the story all that often. Let's talk about something else. On Friday, I had the exquisite joy of going shopping with my son for an engagement ring. I know. Totally. Not something that I ever imagined being included in. You know, to see and hear and feel my son's excitement and the love that he feels for his soon-to-be fiancé, I mean, wow, love. Just his love for her, my love for him, history, a tradition of love. Just Friday was a really, really good day. And as his mother and I were watching him with stones and settings, I couldn't help but see the little boy, you know, 8 years old, standing on the diving board at the pool, beseeching us, "Mom, Dad, watch me!" as he jumped into the water again and again and again and again and again. Every time demanding our attention, as he did pretty much the same dive every time. "Watch me!" And he'd go in a cannonball, again, a cannonball, again. If we didn't turn to watch, he would stand on the diving board until we did. Kids. Secretly, I suspect that ring shopping was a little bit like standing on the diving board. I mean, he's not going to invite us, you know, to the proposal. But he wants us to be part. He wants us to witness that moment that he takes a leap of faith, of love. Look at me. He wants not so much our approval, he wants to be sure of our ongoing love. Look at me. Nothing's going to change, right? You still love me, right? It's a child-parent thing, probably. Except that I've had a couple of moments when I have tested a friend or a loved one. You know, a call on Saturday morning to see if my best friend will help me move some furniture. And as soon as he says yes, I realize, it's okay, I don't really need his help. Just wanted to be sure that he was still my best friend. You know, nothing's changed. Hi, just calling to hear your voice. You ever one of those calls? Just calling to hear your voice? You ever make one of those calls? Or, if my plane's late, will you wait for me to arrive? Duh. I mean, the silly things that we say and do. I mean, will you still be there for me? Right? You'll be there, right? Nothing's changed? I should get back to Gideon. I did promise. So Gideon knows that God will guide and support him in battle. He knows that he's going to defeat the Midianites. But he asks God for a sign. Here's the deal, God. I'm going to put this fleece out tonight. While I sleep, right, in the morning, if the ground is dry but the fleece is wet, I know that you're with me and deliver victory. So Gideon slept really well that night. In the morning, he awoke and he found that the ground was all dry and the fleece was damp, so damp with dew that he could wring a bowl of water from it. Now, I remind you, Gideon is a man of great faith. Nobody would question that. Not even God, who called him to be a judge, a leader of the people because of his faith. But he needed a sign. Mentioned that my son's getting engaged, right? Of course, I can count on you guys to keep it a secret, because, like, shh, it's still a secret. No, my future daughter-in-law is not in the dark about this. She has been consulted, you know, on the style, the type of ring, and she's expressed her hopes and her opinions, so she's part of it. And they are so in love, and yet there's something about having a ring. There's what? An assurance? A sign? I don't think that she has any doubts about his love or his ability to be loving, but she would like a ring. When my son was a little boy, I don't think that we gave him much reason to doubt our love, but he still needed us to watch him jump off that diving board every time. You still love me, right? Nothing's changed. We do seem to like signs. Anyway, as I mentioned, Gideon got his sign. And almost immediately, he gets his sign, immediately he wants another. So, God, I know you're not going to like this, but, what I need is for the fleece to remain dry and the ground all around it to be covered in dew, okay? Then I'll know that you're with me and you'll deliver the Midianites in battle. This is a man of faith, a man of great faith, who just witnessed a requested miracle. And now he's asking for another. Daddy, now watch me jump off the board backwards. And how many of us ever stop at an engagement ring? I'm pretty sure a wedding ring is going to come as well in the package, right? What is it with us? Those of us with great faith or wobbly hope? You know, with doting parents and passionate partners or distant relatives and casual friends, it doesn't matter. We like to be assured. Still love me, right? Nothing's changed. Perhaps it's that deep down, we're not so sure that we deserve all that love and support. Deep down, we know that we're not so great. Our form on the diving board, not so laudatory. Our confidence in the future, not without worry. We know ourselves too well to find ourselves all that lovable. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's that love isn't a one-and-done thing, right? It's a relationship. I mean, although my wife likes to joke, I said I loved you when we got married. If it changes, I'll let you know, so stop asking me. She has said that many times. But the things that she does with me and for me and the things that she says and the way that she trusts me or the way that she says my name remind me constantly that she loves me. A relationship is not accomplished at the proposal of marriage or at the wedding or in any single moment, matrimonial or not. A decent meal is not eaten in one bite. A good life is not lived in a single moment. It's a series of moments, highs and lows, light and shadow. You and me, we love each other with every phone call, with every dumb question and every patient answer, with every casserole that we bring, somehow hoping that will ease another person's grief, with every drive to the airport or cup of tea brewed up, even when there's something else that you should be doing. Each one's a reminder, nothing's changed. I still love you. In this exchange, we see the God of Abraham, right, the God of the universe, like black holes and multi-dimensions and quasars and quarks and creation ongoing and beyond our imagination, that God stop to watch us jump off a diving board. Flawed little me. Unsure little you. Worried Gideon. I still love you. Nothing's changed. In that transaction, God enters into the human condition. And we humans, we need to be assured. We need constant reminders that we are loved, that we are capable, that we are worthy of attention and love. I mean, it would have made perfect sense for God to say to Gideon, enough with the foolishness already. I'm God. I told you that you're going to win the battle. Got it? I'm God. Shut up. Get on with it. That would have worked. It would have been in Hebrew and harder to understand, but it would have worked. I could have looked at my 8-year-old on the diving board and said, seriously, Michael, it's the same blessed dive every time. Give me a break. But had I done that, I don't think I would have been shopping for rings on Friday. Had God done that, I don't think that we would understand Jesus. Jesus, you know? God so completely entering the human experience as to be expressed in the life, the death, the resurrection of a carpenter turned rabbi and loving revolutionary. God is in the human condition. That's what the story tells us. We see it in Jesus, but we are first assured of it in stories like Gideon and the soggy fleece, in Abraham asking for a sacrifice, for a sign. Yeah, Gideon and the soggy fleece seems like a silly story. It's a story that you tell a child before bed. But it's also a very real description of our relationship with God. Even though your faith may be great, even though my faith may be great, we still need assurances. We still have doubts from time to time. Bad days, shadowy days. We have the need to be reminded. We need to see signs and wonders, some beyond comprehension. We need to be in relationship. Not just the heirs of some kind of spiritual existential windfall. I'm your God. There you go. That's not it. We need God in our lives. And Gideon's story is an example of God entering into the human condition, not staying aloof or removed. That story is how I know that God cares about the dead and the grieving in New Zealand. That's how I know that God cares about the homeless and those afraid for the future. That's how I know that God cares how we live on and with this planet. Because God made a fleece sopping wet one morning for Gideon. God said, yes, I will be with you in your humanity and in your need. I know that God cares about racism and justice, about privilege and power, about our children and about our elderly, about us and all our relations. Because God made a fleece soggy one morning for Gideon. Entered into the human condition, came to us on our terms, spoke to us in ways that we would understand, met our needs. This is way more than a children's story. But there's just one more thing. Eventually you have to jump off the diving board. You could ask for all the assurances. You can have all the eyes upon you. You can have all the jewelry ready to go. But eventually, you have to pop the question. You have to step off the board. You have to walk forward in faith. Gideon still had to go into battle. He needed to use his skills to lead his men. God didn't take Gideon's humanity away. He still had to risk and struggle. And you and me, we have to respond to our neighbors who are hurting and afraid. We have to learn how to live with each other in respect and love. We have to learn how to live on this planet. But even as we step forward in faith, even as we pop the question, even as we jump off the board, we're not alone. I know that because God provided a soggy fleece to Gideon one morning. But just in case you need one last assurance, Gideon won the battle. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be officiating at a wedding in the next year or two. And when I went to bed last night, I said to God, "Listen, God, I'm not sure about this sermon, so here's the deal. When I have my shower in the morning, I want my entire bathroom to remain dry and mist-free. Don't let the mirror fog up. But let my bath mat be soaking wet." I got up this morning. I showered. I'm here anyway. Because looking out at you, all of you, I see a soggy fleece. I see assurance that God is in this place. And in community, I discover that with all of my foibles, my fears, my worries, and my needs, I'm not alone. Neither are you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, sometimes we feel silly or ashamed when our faith wavers, when doubts come up. Sometimes, God, we just need a little assurance, a word, a hand, a sign. God, help us understand that it's not a weakness of faith. It's the dynamic of a relationship. Help us understand that you love us and you listen to us and you respond to us because we are in relationship. You love us. We need not be afraid. But it's okay if from time to time we need to ask for a little sign, a little help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.